and welcome. You are listening to an episode of the Sales Chat Show. To stream or download a host of further free episodes that will power your sales success, please visit saleschatshow.com. We really hope that you enjoy and benefit from this episode. So, hello, folks, and welcome to another episode from the Sales Chat Show, saleschatshow.com, driving your sales forward. Today's episode is called, Is Your Company Losing Sales Because You Are Refusing to Be a Digital Hybrid? Now, it's quiz time, ladies and gentlemen. Whose idea was this episode and title? Your options are A, me, Simon Hazeldine. It's my fantastic idea. B, it's Anthony, the telephone assassin, Steers' idea. Or is it, hint, hint, the professor, as we call him, Graham Jones? Well, because it's research-based and it's an article in the Harvard Business Review, the correct answer is the idea for this episode came from Graham. Anthony and I rapidly Googling what on earth is a digital hybrid. I'm sure. No, that's not fair, Anthony, is it? We're not that. But we are nowhere near as enlightened as Mr. Graham Jones. So, Graham, what on earth is a digital hybrid? Please tell us, what did you find out from the Harvard Business Review, and why is this important to our listeners?
I found out lots from the Harvard Business Review, and I recommend it as required reading for anybody in business, because it's got loads of interesting stuff in it and practical examples. So that's my sales pitch for the Harvard Business Review, for which I hope they're listening.
We don't need to do a disclaimer here, yeah, do we? Because we're not actually sponsored by the Harvard Business Review. No, I mean, if they'd like to, get in touch.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we would love to. So it's just a genuine, heartfelt recommendation, yeah, from
if they are listening and wish to sponsor us, we're quite happy to receive their sponsorship.
Sponsor away.
But a digital hybrid, I mean, it's somebody, it's something, it's a process, it's a system that is both digital and non-digital. And we're all hybrids. Yeah? So the three of us are recording this digitally at the moment, but we meet each other in the real world as well. Mm-hmm. And I know that you, Simon and Anthony, were together only last week, chatting to each other. Sadly, I couldn't be there. But we exist and swap ideas and talk to each other both in the real world and in the digital space. We send emails, WhatsApps, whatever to each other. And that's, you know, that's the world we inhabit at the moment. And what it means is that the traditional kind of sales pipeline where somebody would come in at the beginning and you'd be able to funnel them through to the end has disappeared, because they're going off at tangents everywhere. Some of those tangents will be digital, some of those tangents will be real world face to face. And so unless your entire sales process covers the hybrid method of people getting information about you and your products, if you don't cover that in a hybrid way, both digital and face-to-face, throughout what was a typical straight-line process, then you aren't going to lose them at some point, because they will have gone off at a tangent to the pipeline that you're in, and then you never get them back. They've gone off to the competition.
So is it? It's more of a. It feels more like an ecosystem rather, yeah, than a linear process. And I think to be fair, most sales processes are, yes, if they're based on a good understanding of how customers tend to buy, yeah, but there'll be a gross oversimplification, won't they? And anyway, a sales process really has to be aligned with the customer's buying process if it's to be, yeah, useful.
Absolutely. Yeah? I remember, must be about 3 or 4 years now ago now, Gartner, the technology consultancy firm, they produced a map of the sales process for one particular product, and it was, you know, arrows going everywhere. It wasn't a simple flowchart from start to finish. Yeah. People were getting halfway through the sales process and then going right back to the beginning again through a different route. And so people were going all over the place. And there's, there were arrows backwards and forwards, multiple different things that people were looking at. And compare that with the simple straight line of, customer rings. We send them a brochure. Yeah, they read the brochure, they ring back. Yeah,
Back in the day,
we discuss what they want and they order. That's gone. And some of the arrows backwards and forwards on these hybrid processes take them to real world things, to face to face, to back to different digital methods. They may contact you via email and then communicate a bit later via WhatsApp, and then a bit later face to face, and then a bit later on a form on your website. And so nothing is straight. So you've got to be completely hybrid all the way through the sales process.
So actually, the Gartner, if you've not seen it, dear Sales Chat Show listeners, the particular Gartner diagram is a thing of beauty and in an incredible confusion, I would say, Graham, isn't it?
It
Just like,
is, yeah.
it is how on earth they tracked it all, I do not know. But also they talk about like six little jobs that B2B buyers know they need to achieve. And yeah, they sort of, I suppose they sort of look like they would be linear, but they're not. So this is really driven. Is this driven, Graham, in is the research, is this is a continuation of this ongoing change in the way that our customers actually buy now?
It is, yeah. So that people are not buying in the traditional way. They are buying through looking at multiple different sources of information. They may even go to the, competitor's website and go off on a different tack because they're leading them in different directions. They are, talking to people on social media. They're watching videos on TikTok. There's all kinds of different digital ways, but those videos on TikTok can take them to a conference that they didn't know about, for example. And if you think that TikTok is just where you would normally see any of us in the Sales Chat Show dance, then you're sadly mistaken, because TikTok is a significant way of business. Huge numbers of businesses are using TikTok very effectively, and a lot of the things are taking people to, real world events, to seminars, to conferences, to exhibitions. And so people are finding out about that on TikTok. And so it's not a place where young people, dance. It's much more sophisticated than that. And they will go to that real world event where they may see you at an exhibition stand. And having seen you at an exhibition stand, they take away a brochure from you. And that brochure's got your phone number on. And then a week later, they ring you. And so the phone call has come as a result of TikTok, which didn't have your phone number on
I am
it.
now breathing a sigh of relief on behalf of our dear esteemed colleague, Mr. Anthony Steers, that we've actually mentioned the telephone as part of
Hello.
this, a part of this digital hybrid. So I guess listening to this, and I have seen the Gartner stuff in advance previously, Graham. So I'm kind of I guess I understand the digital element. Buyers are conducting research online, so on and so forth. But it's the blend of the newer in inverted commas digital and the more traditional in inverted commas like telephone or face to face. How's the research look at how those two interact and influence and blend with each other?
Well, they blend with each other all the way through. That's the point of this recent article in the Harvard Business Review, in that it isn't just. So some businesses, for example, will think that, all the online stuff that's done by marketing, all of that online activity brings us leads, and then we deal with the leads. But that's not what's happening. So the contacts, that integration of online and offline, is happening all the way through the process. So the point really is that you will lose sales unless you realize this integration and this kind of mad map of people going everywhere is the whole process. And so if you do your digital hybrid bit kind of and say that's what the marketing people do, and then we just talk to people, you're missing out the fact that the person phoning you has come to you via TikTok or whatever it is. There could be all kinds of different connections. So it's not straightforward anymore. It's really complicated. And that Gartner map is incredibly complicated, and they have tried to simplify it in order to get it on a single sheet of paper.
Onto
So,
one, yeah.
yeah.
So, what would be the practical steps? Let's say Mr. Anthony Steers, who is mainstream expert numero uno on the telephone. What would Anthony need to do, and what would I need to do with my business to make sure we're taking account of this new behavior?
I think one of the things to do is to map where your existing information comes from and where people are connecting with you. That means tracking everything. So just because somebody phoned you, where did they get your phone number from? You can use different phone numbers to track different things. I used to do this. I used to have what we in the speaking world called a one sheet. Yeah, I never knew I needed a one sheet. I'd never had it. Actually, as an aside, I'd never had a one sheet. Yeah, I'd been speaking.
What? You've never had a one sheet as a speaker?
I had been speaking before I joined the Professional Speaking Association and earned money from it. Yeah, and I never had a one sheet. And I went to my first PSA meeting and they said, "Where's your one sheet?" And I said, "What's a one sheet?" And hadn't got one. They said, "You'll never make it as a professional speaker unless you have a one sheet." So I went on a training course from an American one sheet expert, an American speaker who had an online training course. I paid for the training course on producing a one sheet. I bought their book on how to produce a one sheet. I produced a one sheet and never got a single piece of business from it. And the reason I know is because I put a different phone number on that one sheet.
I should maybe just clarify for people outside the speaking industry. Well, the reason we're laughing is this is a phrase that is used and bandied around and argued. And basically, it's a as it says, a one-page summary of what you offer to the market. And we're not saying you don't need that in a business, right? But Graham's point is, your digital hybrid customer clearly. Or your customer didn't come to you through this.
So, and I knew that because I was able to track it with a different phone number. So, in the olden days of adverts that you clipped out from a newspaper, there'd be a code at the bottom of the advert so they could track it. Yeah. But we need to track everything. We need to track. So, when you go to an exhibition, you'll be scanned, won't you? So they can track you going into different halls. You go to a stand, the person on the stand will scan the QR code on your badge. So they know who they've spoken to, and they then know that the follow-up with that person was because of the encounter they had at that stand. And so you need to ensure that you've got tracking all the way through. So the first thing I think you need to do to ensure that you are mapping your digital hybrid space is track, ensure you've got tracking procedures in everything, because otherwise you can't work out what's the most important to you.
So there's the tracking aspect, and then and I guess we come across this quite a lot, right? Because we work with sales or revenue generation, is people are psychic, what I call psychic salespeople. Oh no, our customers won't want TikTok. Our customers aren't what and this would be a little bit like Anthony, you must face this all the time, right? Nobody uses the telephone anymore. Or phoning customers doesn't work. And it's kind of like it's often based on, and the reason I'm really interested in your comment on tracking is you need to know what is actually working, not what you are guessing is working, right? That's why marketers will split test A test, B test. They'll split test an advert and they'll take the winner, and then they split test and they so it's kind of and it's almost like the sales qualification, right? Until it comes out the customer's mouth and you've asked a question, you don't actually know, do you? So there's probably a lot of people, they're just hallucinating how they think the customer is buying from them, and they're not. And Anthony, you must get this all the time, right? Yeah, nobody uses the telephone anymore. Or
Oh yeah, apparently
phrase.
young people are scared of the phone and they don't talk to people. Yeah, I've heard all of that stuff before.
And it is largely going to be based on opinion, isn't it? Rather than
Well,
any
opinion
data.
based on your experience in a very narrow
channel, basically. So yeah, it's kind of interesting topic though on hybrid, because I'm a late adopter when it comes to tech and stuff like that. And when we get a new bit of kit in our house, my wife's the one who sets it up, because I just break things. But the way I suppose I kind of think about this sort of topic is that from a training perspective, I understand the importance of blended learning. So you need to be able to provide, some people want to watch a video, some people want to ask a question, some people want to go and read a download or something like that. You've got to provide all of that different options to gather information. So you do need your phone number, maybe a chatbot on your website. There's a few different things you could do. So a first-time lander on your website's got options to choose whatever their chosen method of digesting the content is. I suppose the advantage that you can try and flip out of this is that Graham will probably give us the statistic of how much of your buying decision you've made before you even reach out. But typically, what this means is, from what my understanding, Graham, anyway, and I'm kind of ignorant but optimistic, is the way I tend to think of it, is you need to use those multiple channels so that you can lay your breadcrumbs to see which funnels and channels are working. But it then, because people are gathering so much information before making decisions from so many different places, if you can make sure that you're still in the mix there, and you can then engineer a conversation, you can actually help them get over the overwhelm of all of that information they've managed to gather. Because some of it isn't relevant to them, some of it is. They then need somebody to help them pick out the bits that are actually useful to them. So I think from a sales perspective, I'm a big one on helping customers to buy rather than trying to sell to people and hit them with features and benefits. This is a great way, I think, you can do that by opening up the discussion of, well, what have you found so far? Where have you found it? What did you found interesting? What don't you think is relevant?
Point.
And that is, I think, how my understanding of how I can not be left behind in this hybrid world, even though I don't have a chatbot on my website, and there's some extra things I probably should be providing for
Well,
people who are
also,
looking.
to your point, Anthony, is that buyers are now not short of information. The issue could potentially be, like to your point, they've almost got too much and they're now a bit overwhelmed. And I say in my book Neurosell, about where how neuroscience can power the sales process, available from all good booksellers and some not very good booksellers. He said, so if we're plugging the Harvard Business Review, I'm gonna plug my own book there. So how to become a best-selling author, I think somebody once said. The clue's the word selling. So that aside, I mean, I say if you confuse them, you lose them, right? And we've covered this before on the Sales Chat Show. Graham will share the psychology of decision making. So I think to that point, that might be the moment they go, I think I now need to speak to someone. And that, it's whatever stage it is, we need to be helping them to buy in the way
But
that they want to buy.
I got asked more recently, like the how do you help somebody to buy? Or I think the phrase we were using, or they kept using, was being a trusted advisor. How do you become this trusted advisor? And the only thing I could really think of was to say was that most people are going to come with two main questions, which is how much is it and how quickly can I have it? Because time and money are the things that they value most. They may have a couple of other little questions up their sleeve, but they're primarily the two main questions they're going to ask. Your job as the salesperson is to answer those questions and then teach them the other three or four questions that they should be asking themselves before deciding what it is they're going to buy. Because they often don't know what questions they should be asking or what's important in this product or service that I'm looking into that's actually relevant to me. And that's where I think we have this advantage of now the buyer's journey has changed. Like Graham said, they're zigzagging all over the place. They're getting bags of this, then they're getting stuff from over there, then they're getting downloads here, then they got a course over there. And all of a sudden, they've just got so much stuff that actually it's then even harder to move forwards.
But there's so much stuff means that probably they want to talk to someone. So they're now moving out of the digital space to either face to face or telephone. And when you look at studies of eye tracking on business websites, that most people, typical reading, you start on the top left, you read across and then down the page, and there's various, you can do heat maps of what people are looking at. About 80% of people, though, when you look at the heat map of a typical business web page, I'm not talking about a a news page or Twitter or anything like that, you know, they're visiting a business, they go to those business web pages. About 80% of people look at the top left, then immediately look at the top right. So why are they going to the top right of the website? So when people are then questioned, you know, they've been asked to look at a web page, and then why did you look top right? 80% of people landing on a website go to the top right because that's where they expect the telephone number to be.
And one statistic that I always remember you sharing, Graham, is that particularly on e-commerce sites where they're hoping people are just going to buy without needing any customer service or interaction, you said one of the confidence builders is to put your number in the top right hand corner, because then people think, well, if I do buy and I make a wrong decision, there's a human being or somebody I can phone to fix this, rather than an email that's going to get ignored or lost or blah blah blah.
So even your website, so then people will say to you, as they do, you know, people don't use the telephone anymore, you know, they want email. Actually, the research is pointing us in the opposite direction, that they do want to phone you. I have, you know, people, we all go to meetings, don't we, and somebody says, oh, you know, only young people use Facebook, only old people use Facebook. And because my teenager doesn't want to be on it anymore because, you know, they're on Snapchat or TikTok or whatever. And so they use their individual anecdotal personal experience to say that's what the rest of the world does, without realizing there are 4.5 billion people using Facebook. The chances of them all being old people is pretty slim, considering there's only 8 billion people in the world. So we've got, you know, whatever that is, you know, 5/8 of the world's population using Facebook every day. There are going to be young people, old people. When you look at the demographics of Facebook, it's the population. So the average age in the UK is about early 40s. So that means you're going to get the peak of people using Facebook are going to be that age, and then the age distribution goes off in the normal curve. It's the same. You know, there's 2 billion people using TikTok. They're not all young. So the notion that your experience of the internet or the way you shop or buy products is the real world that everybody experiences is completely untrue. What you need to do is look at the data, and the data tells us that lots of people want to phone your business. And that's the point of this whole integration of being a digital hybrid. There will be different points throughout the process where people want to phone you. Some people want to phone you at the beginning. Some people want to phone you in the middle. Some people want to meet you face to face at the end. Yep. It's no good thinking that this hybrid bit is all about the marketing and doesn't apply elsewhere. It applies.
Well, like you were saying, it's not a straight line anymore. Yeah. I got it with a hospitality client who does events and things in their venues. And it's interesting because we're trying to work out the journey, and some people want to check out the price before they come and visit and check the venue out. Other people want to come and check the venue out before they even decide if they want to look at price. And it was really interesting because there's no right or wrong way of doing it. Some people have a preference of sussing out whether they can afford it first. Some people want to check they're in the right place before they even look at the tack. So
there's a bit of put our own perspective and sometimes ego will be in there as well to one side, and we've said this a number of times on the Sales Chat Show, the principle of get out your own head, get inside the customer's head. So with that, you know, that's something we need to, so I think the expression goes something like, if you can see Joe Jones' world through Joe Jones' eyes, you can help Joe Jones to buy the way that Joe Jones buys. If I've got that correct, I think that's how the saying goes. So the one recommendation is don't shove your own perspective. Don't try and ram your own perspective about the way that you buy onto all your customers. We need to be tracking, and we need to have the various hybrid across that range of touch points. So like practical thing is, you know, when I'm working with salespeople, I'll say, have you got your contact information on your LinkedIn profile? You know, if they find you by LinkedIn, and I've had a couple of people say, oh, no, and I put my telephone number, they can send me a LinkedIn message. And I normally just say something like, well, what happens if they don't want to? Or hey, what happens if they don't know how to? And I say, oh, everybody knows. What if they don't, right? What are they just, Fred Bloggs has no idea how to send, and he wants to phone you. I just say, anyway, if he wants to phone you, have your website detail, have your email, have everything any way they can get hold of you, make it available to them when they want it, I guess, is...
Well, I mock and push a lot of people, and they go, well, I just don't get many sales calls, and I think you can help us out. And I go, well, I struggle to find your phone number. So that tells me you don't want might, people to
yeah,
phone
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
My guess is you don't like your customers and you don't want them to talk to you, because that's why you're hiding your phone number.
Yeah. When people say, I don't want to put my phone number on, you know, LinkedIn, my question is, well, why have you got a phone then? Because what's the point of having a phone if you don't want people to call you?
Yeah. I get it. It gets scraped. People, you end up on databases. I
literally had this conversation with somebody last week, and I said, look, I've had my phone number on my profile for and on my website for ever and a day.
Yeah.
And I haven't been deluged with a whole ton of dodgy phone calls or straight it just hasn't happened. But what has happened is I've been phoned up by customers and potential customers. Like that's so you just I think is yeah, let's get outside our own heads and let's just try to understand how the customer, and if in doubt, do it. Include it, right? As a methodology for customers to get to you, I guess is. What were there any specific recommendations from the research, Graham? What
no,
were they?
Just to make sure that you consider this all the way through everything.
Yeah.
It's no longer just, you know, one area. It's the responsibility of everybody. And I think one other important thing that's not in the article, but I think is important for salespeople, and we've said it before, that, you know, to go back to your Joe Jones buys and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, you're not going to know any of that information unless you record it all in your CRM. So you need a CRM to record all of that information so you can provide a hybrid digital system for every individual customer the way they want to be treated.
And I think the interesting one actually that just occurred to me as you were just summarizing that was, at different stages of their buying process, they might want to consume information or they might want to communicate in a different way. Depending, because more people might become involved, and then somebody else who's also involved in the buying decision, they're entering the overall buying process of the organization at a different stage, at a later, and they might want to see some information, etc. So I think the main thing that stuck with me from the Gartner diagram was the looping effects. That at different stages, different people are involved and are consuming information from various suppliers in a different way. So we've got to be open to how their world is for them, not how we might think it is.
Yes, don't worry about your preferred method of communication from your clients. Just make it give them as many options as possible so that whatever they do decide, they can reach you in that preferred method, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so we're looking forward to being fully digitally hybrid at the Sales Chat Show. So all of our episodes are available from wherever you would like to get your podcast from. We're on all the major podcast platforms. You can, of course, always phone Anthony and he will be happy to talk you through our entire back catalogue. No, you won't, will you?
I'm going to need to take my phone number off my LinkedIn profile after that comment, aren't I?
Could you talk us through episode number 237, Anthony? But you know, you can contact us at the Sales Chat Show any way you like, folks. If you want any, you've got any questions you'd like or topics you'd like us to debate, you can get to us in a number of different ways. And so, Mr. Jones, Mr. Steers, thank you very much. There are hundreds of episodes in our back catalogue, so please feel free to indulge yourselves, dear listeners, in all of those past episodes. And please, if you could subscribe to the Sales Chat Show, you will be notified of new episodes when they come out, which they will on a regular basis. So good luck with all of your digital hybrid implementation. Hope you've had a few key thoughts and ideas. In the meantime, on behalf of everybody here at the Sales Chat Show, we would just like to wish you good luck and good selling, folks. You have been listening to an episode of the Sales Chat Show. To stream or download a host of further free episodes that will power your sales success, please visit saleschatshow.com. Thank you very much for listening to this episode, and from everyone here at the Sales Chat Show, we'd like to wish you good luck and good selling.